Hello again. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach and also grateful to the pastor for guiding and mentoring me as I kind of worked on this sermon. So our text for today is from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 through 30, and I've entitled it, Standing at the Crossroads. Many years ago, while I was studying at Westchester University, I decided to attend a Christian men's retreat in Quarryville. I just got my driving license and was still getting familiar with the roads and directions. Without a GPS system, I was heading south on Baltimore Pike and was planning to take the Oxford exit. But I did not realize that at the end of the road, there is a choice to make. You either go 472 south or 472 north. I made a decision to go on 472 south and ended up in the wrong way. Various internet sources estimate that an adult makes about 35,000 decisions each day. This number may sound absurd, but the researchers at Cornell University found out that we make over 200 decisions on just food alone. These decisions range from simple, unconscious selections to more complex ones that can significantly alter the direction of our lives. Our text for today has a similar backdrop, where the people of Judah made some bad decisions and were moving farther and farther away from God. King Josiah had just rediscovered the law and renewed temple worship, but the people of God soon followed other gods. So God calls Jeremiah to tell them what he's going to do because they continued in their wickedness. Verse 7 in our chapter 6 says, "As a well keeps its waters fresh, Judah keeps her wickedness fresh." Judah is fresh in her wickedness because of her violence and destruction. And God is saying that he has to look at that all the time, every day. In a way, we all live in a similar environment where Christians are like endangered species in the midst of all the wickedness around us. Christian viewpoints are constantly attacked and ridiculed, but lately they are simply being ignored. Our culture thinks that Christianity is irrelevant. And as Christians, we are standing at the crossroads. I broke down our text for today into three sections. First one, God's pleading for Judah to return. Second one, Judah's response and its consequences. And then finally, Jeremiah's appraisal of Judah. Verse 16 says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." So God is asking them four things to do. Stand, look, ask, and walk. Here we see the image of a traveler who has come to a fork in the road. He has a decision to make on which way he should choose to go. But God tells him to ask for directions. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask about the good way. People of God often find themselves at crossroads. When Joshua was about to die, he gathered the children of Israel together at Shechem and told them they were standing at a crossroad. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." People of God were at crossroads when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. It's the same crossroads and the same choices: God's way or the way of the idols. 1 Kings 18:21 says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." So as we meditate on verse 16, three questions come up. First one is, what are the ancient paths? What is the good way? And who should we ask? The ancient path is really the path laid out in the Bible. God's spoken word was given to us to read as much as we want to, whenever we want to, and use the wisdom that comes from it to make choices in our life. People of Judah were going in the wrong direction because they made the wrong choices. In verse 19, the Lord says, "They have not listened to my words and rejected my law." Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, is all about walking in the ancient paths, walking in the Word of God. Verse 1 in Psalm 119 says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." Verse 32 says, "I shall run the way of your commandments." Verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the very last verse, 176, says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." So in this last verse, David recognizes that he has gone astray. And he can tell that he has gone on the wrong road because he has not forgotten his commandments. Bible offers us the correct directions for a difficult journey. The ancient path, the good way, is the Bible. And Jeremiah is asking us to walk in the ancient path. So as we live in this world, life can get very difficult. How difficult has it gotten for you? There are many things that influence us to get off the path. We could go off track when we are too busy with our lives and unable to find time to read the Word and pray to God. We could also go off track due to peer pressure, because a lot of people are walking that way, even though we might have an inkling that it might lead to the wrong destination. We just go because of fear or embarrassment. So when we navigate our life without relying on God, it is a perfect recipe for disaster. So who do we ask for ancient paths? Who do we ask about the good way? And the answer is Jesus Christ himself. And why is that so? Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14 that he is going to his Father's house to prepare a place for them and promise them that he would come back to take them. He also told them that they knew the way to where he was going. But the disciples were not so sure. Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Then Jesus replied, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus Christ is the only way to God, the only way to salvation, and the only way to eternal life. Jesus Christ is also the only way to peace and the only way to find rest for our souls. We all remember the verse from Matthew chapter 11, 28. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus seems to be referencing here from our text in Jeremiah, going down the ancient path will give rest for our souls. So when you're standing at the crossroads, either personal crossroads dealing with decisions in life, like career, marriage, children, future, or cultural crossroads dealing with the thoughts about sanctity of marriage, gender, abortion, and so on, we have a decision to make. And walking towards Jesus Christ and walking in the path He laid out will ensure that we make correct decisions. The ancient paths are the time-tested ways walked by many people before us. Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, and I could keep going on. They all walked in the path. So it is a well-trodden path. But that doesn't mean it is easy to walk across. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." This summer, God gave our family an opportunity to visit Turkey, which is north of Middle East, a 10-hour flight from New York. And we saw 4 of the 7 ancient churches mentioned in Revelation. Near the Ephesus church was the Basilica of St. John and his tomb. After a 1-hour ride from our hotel, we struggled to find the entrance to the basilica despite following Google Maps and asking the locals for directions. So we parked the car and we started walking on foot. We finally found a narrow stone entrance. It was so narrow that only our son Ivan could fit in. It was 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. So we thought that they did this on purpose to symbolize a biblical message. So we all crouched and walked in. And after we went a bit further, we saw another entrance, the main entrance, the highway, with many tourists getting off the buses and walking in. Google Maps led us the wrong way, but we praised God for the experience. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship. Luke 14:26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." We all know Daniel. Daniel did not care for his life when he was put in the lion's den. Paul says in Acts 20:24, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Judas Iscariot, on the other hand, the traitor, had the special privilege of walking with Jesus, talking with him, eating together with him, and being around him all the time. But still, he did not have the kind of unwavering commitment that Daniel and Paul had with God. He was not able to grasp what Jesus explained about the cost of discipleship. He put his priorities, name, fame, money, before God's priorities. Our life on this earth is very short. And as we stand at the crossroads today, we should ask ourselves, what are our priorities in life? Where is our time being spent every day? Are we walking in the ancient way? Are we walking in the good way? And if not, how can we get back on track? Spending time with Jesus every day, reading his word, and praying to him every day will help us align with Jesus and walk in the good way. Like the plants need water to keep them alive, we need Jesus every day to keep us alive and healthy and make us grow in him. So, how did the people of Judah respond to God's calling to walk in the ancient paths? The end of verse 16 says, "But you said, we will not walk in it." Here is the huge contrast, but. Judah says, we will not walk in it. Sounds like they don't want rest for their souls. Think about our country at the moment, United States. Is this where we are today? Even though they said they will not walk in it, God did not stop there. He sent them watchmen, his messengers, his prophets to plead for their return. Verse 17 says, "I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention." God placed them at the crossroads and put up road signs to show which way to go. But the people of Judah did not pay attention to the word of God and rejected the law. The watchmen to whom the Lord refers here are the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the other prophets who warned Israel. In verses 18 and 19, God summons the nations and earth to witness the disobedience and the foolishness of the people of Judah. God tells them that he would bring disaster on them because they did not walk in the ancient paths they were told about. Verse 20 explains the details of how they disobeyed God. "For what purpose does frankincense come to me from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, and your sacrifices are not pleasing to me." So instead of following the ancient way of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, they wandered off to satisfy themselves. Their worship is not genuine, and they added all the unnecessary bells and whistles instead of simply coming to God with a broken and contrite heart. How is it like today? We see the same kind of situation in some of the churches today. The focus is more on entertainment, musicians, and other superficial things than the true word of God and his worship. Instead of glorifying God, they are glorifying themselves. Psalm 51:16 says, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, God, you will not despise." When Jesus was on this earth, he spoke about the same issue, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. In Matthew 23:5, Jesus said, "And they do all their deeds to be noticed by other people, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments." A few verses later, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Their worship becomes vain because they prioritize man-made rules over God's instructions. God desires internal transformation and genuine worship instead of outward displays and people-pleasing worship practices. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Now, these warnings that applied to the people of Judah in the Old Testament and the Pharisees and scribes in the New Testament are very much applicable to our time today. Are we focused on truly worshiping God, or are we focused on pleasing ourselves? Are we giving glory to God through the church buildings and the musical instruments and sermons, or are we using them to entertain ourselves? Because if it is the latter, our worship is not going to be acceptable to God. Because the people of Judah refused to walk in the ancient path, God said he would put stumbling blocks before them and he would send destruction along their way. Verse 21 in our text says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will put obstacles before this people. Parents and children alike will stumble over them. Neighbors and friends will perish." A lot of red flags here. How many red flags are we going to get? How many times is the Lord going to warn us? Reading further along in verses 22 and 23, this is what the Lord says. "Look, an army is coming from the land of the north. A great nation is being stirred up from the ends of the earth. They are armed with bow and spear. They are cruel and show no mercy. They sound like the roaring sea as they ride on their horses. They come like men in battle formation to attack you, daughter of Zion." This whole judgment comes over as an invasion, an attack from the outside, a violent war-like situation. It is a national judgment. It looks very similar to what the country of Israel is going through today. Jeremiah says further along that the destruction is so intense that the pain would be like that of a woman in labor. People are asked to mourn with bitter wailing as for an only son, for suddenly the destroyer would come upon them. So all these are the consequences of not walking in the ancient path. Terror is on every side. There is no escape. Paul uses a very similar language in his letter to the Thessalonians, where he talks about the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "While they are saying peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." So the people of Judah had many opportunities to repent and turn to him. God appealed to them day in and day out to return to him. What about us? Are we walking in the ancient paths with a repentant heart? As soon as we have the knowledge of sin, we should repent. Repentance should never be put off. If we put it in the back burner, it slowly becomes less important and fades away. Hebrews 3:7 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." The day is today, not tomorrow or another day. It is today. In the last four verses of our chapter, God compares the people of Judah to a silver ore and Jeremiah to a tester of metals. Silver ore is the material that is mined to separate the impurities and extract the precious silver from it. Anybody know the price of silver or the price of gold today? I looked up online. Pure gold is about $2,800 an ounce, while pure silver is about $34 an ounce. The purity of silver is measured in the thousands. For example, 999 silver is pure silver, while 925 silver is only 92.5% pure. So silver that is 99.9% pure is the highest possible purity you can get in the market and is more valuable than all other silver alloys. So God here recruited Jeremiah to test the purity of the people of Judah. Jeremiah's role is to assess and discern the spiritual condition of the people. And the goal is to refine and purify God's people by removing their spiritual impurities. However, Jeremiah says that the refining process turned out to be unsuccessful. Just as impurities persist in the silver ore, people persist in their sinful ways. They remain stubborn and rebellious, refusing to turn back to God. Jeremiah's refining process does not yield pure silver. Therefore, everything is rejected. Verse 29 and 30 says, "In vain the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated. They call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them." Now, these are God's people just like us. The people of Judah are a chosen tribe, and God is concerned about them. They are not ignorant Gentiles who do not know about the God Almighty. They all knew the history, and they still veered away from God. They were with God, and they turned away from Him. What about us? We are all Christians, and we know God. But are we still with Him, or have we turned away from Him? Turning away means not having fellowship with Him and contaminating ourselves with the impurities of this world. If we spend time with Him every day, reading His Word and praying to Him and sharing His good news with other believers or the unsaved, we would be on the right path. There are many things that compete for our time as we live in this world. Beyond family and job, as an example, if you have a smartphone, you can spend your time on the phone all day watching things like YouTube, Facebook or Instagram, and so on, and there is no end. If we keep going on ourselves, if we go on keeping ourselves busy with the things of the world, then we have no time left to fellowship with God. Paul talks about these people in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, where he says, "Brothers and sisters, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even as I weep, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who have their minds on earthly things." So if we want to find the way that leads to peace in our lives, that leads to rest in our lives, then we must pursue the way of Jesus Christ. David says in Psalm 56:13, "For you have saved my soul from death. Indeed, my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Just like the people of Judah, a time will come when we also have to face the test. Unlike Jeremiah, who tested them, Jesus Himself is going to be our examiner. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3 says, "But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver." Remember Job and all the trials that he went through? Job 23:10 says, "But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold." Are we able to say the same thing? Of all the things, the primary goal on this earth for us is to learn more about Him and pursue Him every day. The more we seek Him, the more we get to know Him. And the more we get to rely on Him. And the more our focus will be on Him, and the things of the world will be away from our focus. I'll close my sermon with these words from the famous hymn, He Leadeth Me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand, He leadeth me. May God bless His word for us.